Anyway, welcome back to the Toasted Podcast, guys. I'm Sky, and today in the studio, we have Charlie Cope, and he is going to be telling us about his life, his story, his music, mainly his music, and his new album we got coming out. So without further ado, here we go. So you were saying Way It's Supposed to Be is that song you were talking about?
Yeah.
I listened to the album, dude, and I actually like country a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not really, you don't really do country, but, you know, I'm going to assume that you'd call it Americana,
right?
Yeah. Right? Is that what that is? I actually haven't heard that genre a lot. Like, I don't.
It's not too popular.
Right. Mm. What I like about it, what I'll say is this. So your voice ends up being kind of like, I'd say a lot of the songs, I had like a Coe Wetzel voice without all the rock and stuff behind it.
Right.
And then on top of that, you had like the violin and stuff. Mm-hmm. Was freaking slapping, dude. I was like, wow, this is legit. I liked it a lot.
Appreciate
so you have tons of, like, it's almost an instrumental back, you know, mm-hmm. to it. Maybe something like, not Coe Wetzel. I mean, he's probably kind of, that's probably a diss to you, huh?
I know a lot of those guys, so I can't say anything negative. There's a whole lot of things I'm not supposed to say.
Well, that's not, I didn't mean, okay, no, I didn't no. mean, but I meant like, you do agree or not is what I'm trying to say. You wouldn't agree. You'd be like, nah, it's your own sound. I get it. I understand.
No, you're good. I mean, country music right now, especially like that like red dirt sound, it's got a lot of that old rock and roll in it.
Right.
I've got a lot of rock and roll and,
right.
you know, I'm not country, but I definitely am country, like, you know, influenced.
Sure.
You know, and,
I mean, yeah, camo hat, real tree guy.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I'm there. You know, I'm the same way as far as that goes. I grew up in Lindale, so like, East Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I never really went country, if so to speak. You know, I didn't own boots until I left the state for a while, you know, left Texas for a while because I missed it. And I'm still not crazy country guy, you know. I just know a lot of country people, I guess. My whole family's that way, right?
Yeah.
So that's how that is. So what's that song? So you had another song, Waller County?
Yeah.
Where's Waller County, dude?
That's actually where I'm from. I'm from a small town called Brookshire out near Houston.
Brookshire?
Have you heard of it?
Wow, no, I haven't. I know
yeah.
Brookshire's.
Yeah.
Grocery store?
yeah.
No
one's... Main Street's got like a donut shop, a mechanic, and a bank. That's, you know, it's a real small town. Since I left, there's not even any musicians there. It's a real small town. And I was trying to write a song, you know, called like Brookshire or something like that. But that's not a really catchy name.
Yeah.
So I called it Waller County. But it was actually my second single. And Waller in or sorry
you're good I'm just making it I'm just pointing it towards your mouth that's all
oh you're good cool so in Waller County there's a town called Waller and we all consider that to be like the nicer side of town so we kind of make fun of the kids from Waller like a lot of reporters and stuff saying Charlie Cope out of Waller, Texas and I'm like no
like... That's hilarious, dude. It's like Miranda Lambert in Oklahoma, dude. She's from Lindale, right, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't claim that.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that is, now that you're telling me this, how much of that is the press and not her? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You never know.
Yeah. So you're, wow, that's crazy, dude. So in your whole, like, music journey, where would you say you're at? Like, where are you, what are you, how far along have you been doing this?
Professionally, about 6 years.
6 years? Mm-hmm. Dang, dude. And you've been in Denton the whole time?
No, I moved here about maybe 2 years ago for school.
Yeah.
I'm a UNT student.
Okay. Currently?
Oh, I'm taking this semester off. I'm doing some classes over at community college, just same class.
Holy crap. I know a lot of people at UNT. What are you going for?
Starting my own degree of music and business.
Music and business? Starting your own degree? Mm-hmm. Does that mean like they don't have a degree for it, so you're just making it?
No, they were supposed to have one. They were supposed to have a degree.
Yeah.
So I showed up for like orientation week. So I was already like, you know, enrolled and everything. And there was like, I think like 12, 13 other kids that were in it, and just a few of us. And so one of the guys that was in it with me said, hey, I just talked to like the dean or whatever, and they're no longer having this major.
That you had already signed up for.
Exactly.
Dude, college is such a scam, dude.
Yeah.
Golly, man.
But all of them, they went other fields. Most of them didn't have anything to do with music or business. Some of them went med or, you know, teaching or whatever.
Right.
And it's, you know, they found their thing. But I'm the only one that I know of, at least, that kept doing it, at least somewhat. You know, it's like, okay, they don't offer it anymore. Well, I am here.
Yeah.
The other school as of that time that had it in Texas was Mary Hardin Baylor, and it was like four times the cost.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
Nah. That's cool, man.
So,
heck yeah.
I wasn't just going to, you know, give up. I made it work.
Well, were those guys that you're talking about, were they actually creating music at the time? You know, were they actually doing it?
I think most of them were like trying to be like music managers.
Oh, okay. I think there's a difference there because you already have this thing you're doing that it's necessary. So you're going to keep driving forward while they might be like, well, I'll figure something else out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. There's something to be said about keeping it going even when you're not like big or making it or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. No one talks about the time before, if that makes sense. It's like no one talks about the time before you're making a big break or whatever, right? Like you're on your debut album, right? Mm-hmm. You've never made an album before. This is it. This is the one. That's a big deal. But no one talks about what it took up to get up to that point. You just said 6 years, you know?
Yeah.
6 years in the making for this album.
And really and truly, this album's been in the making longer than I've been a musician, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just like the story
behind it. Well, sure. Yeah, no, totally. I totally 100% agree with that. Yeah, it's just the fact that you can keep going and, you know, whether you're getting paid or not, it's not even it. It's like you're just going to keep doing it.
Right.
That's crazy. But so tell me about that song, Way It's Supposed to Be.
Yeah.
What I got out of it, before we get into it, before you tell me the real thing.
Oh, yeah, please.
What I got out of it, I was assuming just by listening to it, it's about a girl, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And I just liked it because you're explaining a feeling, right? Like, you know, the window's down and all that. Like, I can relate to that, but you're like basically saying it's supposed to be easy, I guess, just in general. Now, that's what I got. So go ahead, tell me.
I haven't heard that one yet. It's like it's supposed to be easy.
Yeah, just things, yeah, whatever's happening, right? It's supposed to be easy. Like, window's down, everything's a breeze, you know, and you got this person beside you or whatever. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay. Well, you're right. It is about a girl.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all
about way, dude. No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
Breakthrough. Yeah. So evolutionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was about a girl. And so my old truck, because you probably saw my van out there with my name on it.
Yeah, dude. I was like, holy crap, you have your own van. That's awesome.
Before I had that, I had a old 1997 Ford F-250.
Okay.
And that song was about it. In Waller County, so if I get out of this Ford, I'll be in Waller County. That was the Ford.
Ah, okay.
So in Way It's Supposed to Be, when I was in high school, that's actually one of the older songs on this record. I wrote that the day that I left my hometown to go to college.
Okay.
Because I was on the road, you know. Yeah. So I write a lot of my songs when I'm driving and that sort of thing.
Because you're in a different mindset, you know?
Right. And you can't worry about paperwork or, you know, whatever, you know, while you're driving because you can't do it.
Right.
You know, you can't email people back all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like today, there was like two wrecks on my way over here. Yesterday, I went to a gig and there was like four.
Bro, dude, 35 is literally the worst.
I know. It seems to be getting worse and worse.
Yeah, 35W specifically. I'm like,
yeah.
What are we doing here, man? Yeah, it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, dude. The drive probably sucked.
That was all right. There is, because I've never been to like the subdivision part over here.
Yeah.
I have seen more roundabouts in America today than I ever have in all of America.
Yeah.
At least in my time in the States. Yeah.
Yeah, so you took a back way then? Did you go on 35 or nah?
I did somewhat. I don't really know. I just did what my GPS told me.
You're probably telling you to avoid all the traffic. So whenever you go on like the sub part, the subdivision part of 35, like on the west side kind of thing.
Right.
When you're coming down from Denton especially, there's like tons of roundabouts, dude. Like almost everywhere. So I get it. That's crazy, dude. There's nothing like that where I grew up, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me feel like I was back in Europe. But,
yeah.
So, way it's supposed to be. Sorry, I get distracted a little easily.
Dude, you're good.
And am I?
I'm the same way.
Far enough from the mic?
It should be okay. What I'll do is I'll gain it up here. whenever we do it.
A little closer. Is this better?
It will be better, yeah. It's up to you, dude. I just want you to be comfortable, man, when you're talking. Cool. So, whatever. You can move it however you want to. You're probably used to mics, right? So.
Very, yeah, but they're usually not this – the live ones aren't this sensitive. Cause,
oh, right.
Because, you know, you have like – well, the drums are mics. And
yeah.
They're still loud drums, yeah, you know, and everything, but so they can't be sensitive.
Right, I understand. I get what you're saying.
But, yeah, so the way it's supposed to be – so I wrote about the time I left my hometown.
Yeah.
And so when I was in high school, I was with this girl, and we were kind of keeping it under wraps on the – you know. And so we'd have to leave town in order for us to hang out.
Okay.
So we were.
That's that small town life, dude.
Yeah. very small town.
I feel that, dude. Everyone would know, man. Yeah. Holy crap. That's crazy.
So we were my old truck, it had like a cracked windshield and the AC didn't work, so you had to roll the windows down, you know, 280 AC, two windows down, eight miles an hour. And so we'd have to get home like as the sun was rising before her parents woke up, you know.
Yeah.
Or before mine woke up.
Sketchy situations out here. You know?
And so later on in high school, when I started gigging a lot more often, started getting actual gigs, and when I started making music like super serious, I was really focused on it. I was out every night. If I wasn't playing my own shows, I was going to other people's shows so I could learn.
Yeah.
I could observe.
Dude, that's I do that with podcasting too, you know. Even if it's not about politics, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. You got to learn your craft. If you're not good at it, you're nothing, you know?
Got to get better. There's always something to learn.
Yeah.
But I was out every night, and there is even times when I'd be out so late at night that I wouldn't even go home. I'd just go straight to first period. Keeping in mind, I did have a really long drive.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. I mean, it's high school. Like, I miss those times, you know, because, like, you're in high school and you don't have any worries. Like, you're not worried about it. Like, who cares if you didn't get any sleep because it's easy?
Yeah.
You know, it's high school.
Yeah. Well, so after those, you know, I remember one of my last days in that town, just driving home and thinking about, you know, just a few months ago or whatever, however long it was, I was in this exact same place, this exact same time, watching the sunrise through the cracked windshield and two windows down to ADAC. But the girl was right next to me, and now I'm doing it by myself, just thinking, damn, I missed that, and damn, that was the way it was supposed to be, you know? So it was a little bit of a poppier tune, but...
Yeah, no, it's good, though. I like it.
A lot of the younger folks.
Of course, right? Because it's a popular thing. Right. The other one I liked a lot, dude, I'm not good at these names.
Use somebody.
Use somebody. That was a good one, dude. I liked that a lot. I was like, dude, this is a good one.
Yeah. So. I don't get too many hits on that one. That's really good to hear. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm into a lot of different music. Maybe that's why. I have no idea. I used to be a drummer. So like, the whole band that I would say I had, you know, it was like, oh, we're going to go big. We're going to do it. You know, could have, I still think it would have made it, but they didn't want to do it. Right. They weren't into it. It was a girl singer. It's a rockier kind of thing going on. It was like Flyleaf. Wow. You know who that is?
Flyleaf.
This is a long time ago, bro. I'm talking about like long time ago.
I am a little younger than I look.
Yeah. How old are you, dude?
I'm 20.
You're 20? Well, yeah. Flyleaf is... it's whatever, dude. Maybe that's why. It doesn't really matter, dude. It's like just basically rock with a chick singer.
Okay.
So that's all I can really say. But it was good, and I liked it a lot. But the singer was a sister of the lead guitarist. Mm-hmm. They were siblings. They never got along. So, dude, band drama is like so – it happens like – it's so weird.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about it like, oh, that's just high school band drama or garage band drama or whatever. I think every band has drama, dude, for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not going to get around it, you know? So I just kept telling them, I was like, dude, we can do it, you know? But whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah, bands are a little harder. If you want to get something done, everybody has to be on board with it.
Yeah.
Bobby Borg used to say, he taught me a lot about music business. He used to say, bands break up, solo musicians break down.
Boom. Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy.
And I mean, you know, I know, like, while I would much prefer to have my backing band musicians, I have a backing band called The Other Guys. I'd much prefer to have the regular lineup. I realize that some days, you know, you're booked elsewhere. You've got other stuff going on.
The backing band. So that's interesting. That's a weird concept. I guess I hadn't really known that was just common. You just have a backing band and you just, like, have them go with you whenever you can.
They're basically, like, hired guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, dude.
But, I mean, like, you know, if one of them can't make it or whatever, you know, I have a list of substitutes ready to go, you know.
Yeah.
There's always people ready to go.
Yeah, you're in this thing, dude. That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Appreciate it. I mean, it wasn't always like that.
Right.
It was for a while, it was just me and a guitar and whoever I could get to play with me for half of the tip jar. You know?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm talking about. That right there is the part that people don't always hear, you know.
Yeah, you know,
like how no one hears about Co Wetzel before he was Co Wetzel. No one hears about like Chris Colston, right? I went to school with him.
Okay.
No one hears about his like story and all that, right? Like I worked at Brookshire's with the guy, you know, I know him pretty well. It's funny. But no one talks about the story like making it, dude, you know?
Right. And you know, I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, I am too, dude. Yeah. I'm super interested. He would tell me, like, yeah, my mom's, like, making me do this and that, you know? And I'm like, dude, do it. Like, yeah. I'm working at I'm a freaking cashier. He's bagging stuff for me. And he's like, my mom's making me play a show at wherever, right? And I'm like, what's your problem? Yeah. He's just like, man, it's just a lot, you know? I just constantly do it, and I don't see anything. I'm like, dude, it'll happen, you know? It's so weird to me because I said that shit, and now he's freaking there, you know? Yeah. I'm like, dude, he made it, man. It's almost like you just keep grinding, and who? What's going to happen? Either A, you suck and you may not go anywhere, or B, even if you do suck, everyone else will quit around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you're good and obviously you're going to make it. You know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of my thought process on that whole thing. Like, everyone's just going to stop at some point and you're still going to be there. So,
yeah. One thing I learned really early is because I am not a natural singer. So, the voice okay. that you hear me sing with is artificial.
Yeah. Okay.
It was created.
Yeah. That's a hot take, dude.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm saying a lot of people might be like mad at that you just said that. Oh, just saying.
I don't give a damn. That's cool. You can be mad all you want.
Okay, there we go.
I don't think you want to hear me singing my natural voice. You somebody. I don't think you want
to
hear
So you're not going to be canceled for your voice. We know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Well, I have about 30 or so different voices.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I use like four or five of them in the album.
But they're all based on your voice. Like, it's not just like you're not, it's not just completely made up. There's like auto tuning going
Axl Rose
on.
Ones. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Interesting. Wow.
Actually, in a couple of them, you can hear myself doing backup vocals for myself. And
yeah.
I also have backup vocalists, but for myself, and you can hear me doing like a bunch of different voices, but they're all me.
Yeah.
They wouldn't sound like me. And even like on that intro track, you can hear it like cheering.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is me, but it sounds like girls. That's
yeah.
me going, woo!
Yeah. No, dude, what it say? It's so interesting. Whenever you get to record,
mm-hmm.
anything's possible.
Yeah.
You can have a single person doing all of it. It's crazy. It's awesome, honestly.
Yeah. That debut Boston album was just done in someone's basement.
Yeah.
By one guy.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of like freedom whenever you don't have it, whenever it's not live, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of that, so how do you... When you're trying to make an album and like get it on Spotify and everything, mm-hmm. I haven't done that or been around that scene in like, this is years. I was still using like CD Baby, you know, trying to do all that crap way back in the day. What is it like now? What are you doing?
You can still use CD Baby.
Well, sure. But I'm just saying, like, how do you get your songs on Spotify? That kind of thing.
Because
everyone streams now, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's on freaking, honestly, it's so weird to me, but music is like on TikTok like crazy and like a bunch of musicians are on TikTok and like that's the thing, right? And then
my music's on TikTok.
There you go, dude. Yeah. Do you have a tag or whatever you call it?
I haven't used it on TikTok.
Really?
I haven't used my TikTok in so long. I'm going the old fashioned route.
Everything like word of mouth and like growing that way.
Word of radio and
word of radio. Dang, dude, radio, huh?
Concerts and
I'm surprised you want to use radio.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm been called a vintage singer, you know. So I mean, my music is vintage. My target audience is 35 to 55. Of course, other audiences.
Oh,
as well.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, you come out to one of my shows, you could see me playing like.
I mean, I could tell by the music. Like, I could see. I was thinking about literally, like, oh, I could see. You know, my uncle's liking this, or you know,
exactly
my brother that's like 30 something. You know what I mean? I could see that, but I'm like. That's just surprising to me that you are 20 and you're like, yeah, that's my target audience right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been older than I really, you know, my actual age.
Like an old soul, you know?
Right.
I get it.
I was in Walmart a couple weeks ago, and every now and then I'll get recognized in Walmart or whatever.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I am waiting for that day. Let's go.
They hardly ever know my name. You're just
You're that guitar guy.
I'm like, yeah.
I saw you on stage once for some reason.
Eric Clapton. Yeah, good to meet you. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bro, do it. I dare you. That'd be funny.
But this, like, there's two really pretty girls. And I just broke my tip jar. So I was at Walmart getting a new tip jar. And really two pretty girls. They're about my age. I was like, oh, all right. You know, one was really excited.
Yeah.
She was like, you're that guy. You're that singer guy. The other one didn't know who the hell I was.
Right.
And, which I'll take. I'll take one out of two. I can take that. So we were talking a little bit. And the first sentence she got out, like, first full sentence she could get out was, can you introduce me to Parker McCollum?
Oh, man.
I'm like, damn. Eventually, she told me, my
bro.
Mom loves your music. Well, I'm sure she does. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, see? Target audience, bro. Yeah. Can you introduce me to Parker McCollum? What kind of slap in the face, dude? You know? But maybe not a slap in the face, because that's still cool, I guess.
I mean,
but then you're like, well, what about my music, man? You know?
I guess I'm going home alone tonight.
Oh, God, from Walmart, dude? Yeah. Dude, come on. Who cares? That's funny, though, dude. Yeah, how often does that happen?
Not too often. I mean, at my gigs, you know, it happens a lot because a lot of the
you're already there, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And they know I'm there. There's flyers for, you know. But outside of gigs, it probably happens like once every other week or something like that.
If someone's trying to keep track of you and like find gigs, what are they going to use?
My website.
Your website? So you always put your gigs up on your website?
All my public gigs.
Okay.
Sick. It's all up there.
How long? Ooh, that's another good question. Speaking of public. Mm-hmm. So what did you do like in COVID?
Ooh.
How was that going, man? Was that when you created the album? Because now it's out, so it makes sense.
Oh, no. I've been working. Like I said,
that's been
working on it
for years, right? So during COVID, what were you doing for gigs? It's Texas, so it's not as bad as other states, but.
Yeah. I had just moved to Denton. And so when you move to a new town and you're a full-time college student.
And you're in Denton, so UNT. Yeah.
And Denton, I actually never play in Denton. I have only played a handful of times.
Do you think is it because your choice, or do you think that's just not the type of music they want to hear?
Both.
Okay.
Because
I can't imagine. Yeah, Denton is kind of that
kind of jazzy, kind of pop. A lot of younger crowd.
Crowd. There's a few rappers that I know from Denton.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like, that makes sense.
But also, because there's so many musicians at Denton.
Yeah.
Supply and demand. But also, a lot of the venues are like, you're just going to come play for free, right? I'm like, what? No, this is my actual job. I'm actually going to spend a lot of money on promoting this to get you people.
Right.
That's how I make my money. I don't just walk
So whenever you're negotiating with them, you're just telling them, like, you're going to pay for your own promotion so that they get people. That's how that works.
Right.
And then for your promotion, what are you using?
Well, I have a few different promoters, but I also do some of myself. You know, the basic stuff I'll do myself.
Social like media.
Social media, flyers, putting on the website, and that sort of thing.
Anyway, so most of your gigs aren't in Denton. Where are they at?
Dallas, Fort Worth. I played in Dallas last night. I'm not playing tonight. Next 2 days, I'm doing private shows in Fort Worth.
Private? Dang, dude. I was going to come out and see you.
You still can. I'm trying to not do as many shows for next couple of weeks so I can work on, you know, behind the scenes on the album.
That, like, Exhibit A, yeah, I get you, man.
Yeah. But I think the next shows I have that are public are the 17th and the 18th, Friday and Saturday. I think those are the days over at in Frisco and then again in Salina. It's kind of far from you.
Dang. Yeah. Salina, dude. Holy crap. So I travel all over Texas for my job, my other job, and I install communications equipment in fire trucks.
Okay.
So I've been to Salina. Cool. It's cool. It has its perks, I guess, you know, but manufacturing's down. But anyway, point is, I go to all these little tiny little small towns that have fire departments pretty much. Mm-hmm. Salina, it's pretty far out there from here anyway.
Well, I think I have a Fort Worth gig. I know I have a bunch, but just off the top of my head, on the 24th, I'm playing the Dutch's Locker Room. I don't know if you know.
I don't, dude.
Kind of your TCU.
Oh, cool. Heck yeah. I might check it out. 24th? Cool. Very cool. Are you trying to get out of DFW at all?
Well, I've been touring a lot. I went on a 3-month tour this summer and I traveled all around and that was pretty cool. And I'll be touring. I can't release those dates to the public yet, but I'll be touring a lot more next year. It's almost annoying. But it's fun.
that's life, dude. You know, you're signing up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who does that? Who does your like scheduling and all that?
It's a big
family?
Team of people.
Oh, okay.
There's no family members in it. I call them my suicide squad.
Okay.
So I have like a couple of different agencies, a couple of different promoters. It all runs through me, of course. But I set up, you know, I did all the marketing. I figured these are the towns I do well in. These are the towns I want to do better in and all that. You know, we go to radio stations as we're in town. So we play a bunch of concerts in those towns and that sort of thing. And, try to reach as many people as humanly possible.
Yeah. If you could do like something different as far as your way up or whatever, what would that be?
Something different?
Like if someone out there right now is aspiring to be a musician and do it professionally or whatever, which I honestly, I feel like is very common right now because of the pandemic. Like I feel like it became like, you know, everybody with the guitar thinks they can sing very well and do it, like make it happen, you know what I mean?
Get TikTok famous.
Get TikTok famous, right.
Yeah.
But if there's someone out there trying to do it, you know, legit, that's why it's interesting you said you're trying to do it the old-fashioned way. That makes sense. Because it's
supply
not just...
Supply and demand.
Well, also I've heard, like, being TikTok famous doesn't really do much for you.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not a lot of, what do they call that? Conversion. The conversion rate for TikTok to actual listeners or actual whatevers is not a lot, apparently.
Yeah.
That I've been looking at, you know?
And, you know, I've met a couple of people that are TikTok famous, not necessarily based off music, just
right.
kind of...
Just kind of because they have a lot of views, right?
Right. You know, and I've met them in person. I've talked to them, you know, they come out to my shows and they'll hang out in the green room or something. And
yeah.
And be like, this is so-and-so.
Right.
Like, I don't know who that is. But, you
right.
know...
Yeah, okay.
I'll pretend
wow.
like I will, you know? And,
yeah.
And they'll be telling me about it, and because I didn't really understand the concept too well, and they're telling me about it and how they basically got rich. Off of, they made like a million or, you know, 2 million.
Is that what they're telling you?
That's what they told me.
Wow.
I went and Googled it.
Okay.
Google has also said some, like, idle net worth got mine way wrong. I thought I was rich. I am not rich.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think there's, really?
Yeah.
It says that about you?
it said that I was rich. I called
bro,
it.
Bro,
like,
bask in the fame.
Yeah.
Call Google, be like, yo, dude, where's my money? Yeah. Like, you're the one that did this. That's crazy,
dude.
You
got some news? You got to
yeah,
tell me.
Yeah, dude.
You should have told
Holy
me first.
Crap.
Yeah. Sorry, I should get a little closer to the mic.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's hilarious, dude, that they – wow. I don't know if that's true, though. I mean, maybe they tell you that, and I don't know. I'm not freaking TikTok famous, but like
– I think they probably just got like some – oh, the TikTok. I thought you were talking about the I Don't Know Earth.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, dude. The sponsors maybe, you know? Maybe that's what they got.
I figured they got like some names mixed up or something. I don't
yeah.
know. But I asked them why they got that, and they came up with like, well, we figured out you did these many shows, and you're on the radio this often, and you tour this much. So that's the norm. I'm like, you could have asked me. My contact info is public. It's on my Google Knowledge panel. You could just email me.
Yeah, but how do they even know? Like,
no.
Average musicians touring, like they don't. I don't know if they make a lot.
Yeah, they don't.
like, they don't. Yeah. They don't. Like, I don't know what you want to say, but dang, that's crazy.
I think it's because there's some bigger people, bigger acts I was playing with, and, you know, bigger and bigger crowds and that sort of thing.
Right.
But still way off.
It doesn't always account for
yeah.
actual money that
yeah.
you might have, yeah.
And also,
that's
like,
cool, though.
I'm
it's
only,
still awesome.
I'm only 20, so it's not like I've been doing this for a super long time.
Right.
And I've got
accumulating
it
all this wealth.
Right.
you
yeah.
know?
UNT takes most of my accumulated wealth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, dude, that's crazy. It's interesting you're at UNT, yeah. When you told me that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I guess I didn't expect that, you know?
Right.
I thought someone in your position would be, like, way more focused on just the music side of it and, like, I don't need any of that. It's probably a good thing, though, because you need to know the business side of things. Whenever something happens or a label comes to you or whatever happens, you need to know exactly what you're
yes.
going to say or else you might get screwed. You don't know.
Yeah. I don't ever play gigs just to play gigs. I go there and I do the marketing research. I do the promotions. I make sure that I get a lot of people out. I don't just throw flyers out willy-nilly. There's a lot of math and a lot of science behind it, unfortunately. And even my set list, it changes every night. And I make sure to get one that fits that venue, that crowd, what the owners want, what the crowd actually wants, all that sort of thing.
Holy crap.
There's a lot of business behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I was talking about today, there was a problem with Pandora. They weren't playing my album, and it was like, once they did play it, they were like halving it. So like one Charlie Coat, half the album, and another
yeah.
Charlie Coat, the other half. It was very weird.
Yeah, I haven't dealt with, I only do the podcasting stuff, right? So
yeah.
when it comes to that, it's pretty easy, pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to worry about, maybe I should, I don't know, but like this was impromptu, right? You're like, hey, can I be on your show? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's go.
Yeah.
But that's why I like it. I can just do whatever I want and
yeah.
go from there.
When
at
when,
some point, maybe I'll be like, yo, this has got to be right here. It's just like, but I hate doing that, dude. I don't
yeah.
want that. Because then what, I mean, it's so, like I said, it's not genuine. It's not something that I can just go into and flow into, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see
just
that.
Just have a conversation, you know?
Yeah. Most of my stuff is scheduled like, at least a year in advance.
Really?
Yeah. I know what I'm going to be doing in 2032.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and that's not an exaggeration.
Like, I'll and I'll schedule guests ahead of time, of course. That'll happen. That's easy, you know?
Right.
Hey, come on this 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or whatever. I don't schedule them years out. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen, and this type of thing is based on current events usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have gotten a COVID expert, and booked them in 2017, then I'd be famous. Yeah. You know, but that's just how it works.
That would have been whatever. Cool.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of flying by the seat of my pants kind of thing. But I don't know, man. When it comes to like topics and stuff, I have that planned ahead.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about whatever topic is coming up, and we'll talk about that evergreen content or whatever. But
besides that, man,
it makes sense to get to do that though, for the crowd. You know.
Yeah, you gotta take it from all sorts of angles, and I mean, like all the radio I've been on lately, and getting on charts and that sort of thing. You know, it's not just willy-nilly. It's a lot of work, and my Suicide Squad of, you know, my team and everybody that's working.
And that's what I'm talking about, dude. No one knows behind the scenes, bro. No one knows that.
It's
a grind.
I went 48 hours without sleeping, and then I slept for like 2, maybe 3 hours last night. So I'm a little exhausted right now. So if I'm a little out of it, I do apologize. But yeah, there's a lot on the behind the scenes side.
And what, so talking about that, like what got you into music, like 6 years ago or whenever, you know, however long ago?
Yeah, I was always into music as long as I can remember. I always wanted to be a musician. And I was told at a very young age that I would never be able to make it. And
by who?
My mother, actually. Okay. I know that sounds harsh. I've said it in a bunch of interviews. It sounds harsh, but I actually do think it was probably the...
Just realistic.
More responsible.
Yeah. Just parenting. Being realistic. I get it.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, I was, you know, 15, 16, you know, I was in pretty dangerous situations. You know, parents had no idea where I was or anything like that. I was, you know, in Houston or in Austin or wherever I was that day, you know, running around with whoever, you know, in pretty dangerous situations as a musician. And, you know, it's not the safest job just
sure.
in general.
Yeah.
It's not the financially safest job, of course. Right. It is for me now because I'm
established now. Yeah, but no one, you're not going to get any, something I try to tell, like, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't take risks, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is, right? There's a risk reward here, right? Mm. And if you want the most rewarding things like fame or, you know, being a crazy good musician or being like seen a lot or whatever, that takes more risk than the average person
right.
is usually willing to give, you know? So like, they just want a normal 9-to-5 job and whatever, they're content.
And you know, if you that know? Works for you.
No, exactly. But that's where your parents are probably coming from. That's where my mom would come from whenever I tell her like, I'm quitting my day job, I'm doing podcasting full time, let's go. You know, she's like, you're crazy, right?
Yeah.
Don't do it. Doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah. I still have people tell me that like you should get a regular job. I'm like, why? Like I know how much you make. I mean more than that. Right. You know, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. There you go.
But, and that's not like my measurement of success.
No, I know. Yeah. But you can't take it with you. You know, that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. So let me just work all day, every day. Nah, screw that.
Well, I do.
Time is more valuable. I mean, work for like a normal job.
Yeah.
Working on your own thing, it feels different. It feels different.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're working for the man or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like something's over your shoulders badly. You feel like something like, I don't know. I get excited, you know, and I, you know, you are exhausted or you're doing this, you're grinding day in and day out. Like I'm on social media all the freaking time and that sounds easy, but it just gets exhausting, dude. You're sifting through all the stupid content. You're replying to stupid people that you don't even care about really, but you kind of want to care about them. It's hard, man. And then Twitter is a toxic AF. So you're always on Twitter. You know what I mean? If you're in politics, that's what we're doing, right? So it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But you know, you're doing it, and you're like, this is for my own thing. This is for it, you know.
Yeah.
This is for the cause, you know what I mean?
And you're going to care about your own project more than anyone else's.
Yeah.
And you're not going to care as much about anyone else's project as you're going to care about your own.
It's just like a business, dude. It is a business.
Yeah, I actually did start my own business in January 3rd of 2020.
Really?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude.
Charlie
nice, Hope dude.
Records, yeah.
There you go.
It was a terrible time to start a music company.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I started a media company, so I get it. I'm there. Yeah. I'm the same way. It's like, eh.
It's worked pretty well so far.
Well, the other thing people don't understand is like having your own business, like there's a lot of benefits to that without even making money from that business, if that makes sense. Like there's tax benefits you can get.
Yeah.
You know, you can run a lot of things through it, so you don't have to pay taxes at the end of the year, a lot of stuff. If you're spending money on your band and yourself to progress, that money is not taxed at the end of the year, like that kind of thing, right?
Right, and the company actually pays for a lot of my stuff. A lot of, like, if I buy guitar strings, I don't pay for that if I'm on tour.
Right.
It doesn't. I don't pay for that. music does, music business does, gas while on tour, any sort of thing like that, and just gas to like regular gigs. While I do pay for that, if it's not on tour, it is a tax write off.
Yeah, there you go, dude.
All sorts of things like that.
Yeah, so even if the business isn't making tons of money, you know, you're still able to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's good.
I've even just recently started doing like printing, like started doing that as a tax write off. Because, like, I'll use the printing
you mean, like, printing flyers and stuff?
Right.
Yeah.
But I print
Interesting.
So many.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cheap, but, you know, they build up.
Yeah. That's a perk of being out of college, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Being able to have that, just go in, oh, I need to print some stuff, let's go.
Really and truly, you know? They wouldn't know if you weren't a student. You'd probably just...
Oh, interesting.
You'd probably get by with it.
Maybe. Interesting. No, I'm just kidding. I've been thinking about going to UNT campus, though, and doing, like, some questions. You know, like going up to people and being like, hey, asking political questions, of course.
Yeah.
But like, I want to talk. UNT is probably the go-to because it's a liberal arts school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm trying to ruffle feathers or anything, but I want some good conversation. So
yeah.
I don't want to go somewhere where it's like, oh, I totally agree with you. Okay. Well, that didn't get me anywhere.
Yeah. It's...
You know, I'm cool. That's awesome. You agree. That's awesome. But I want someone that's wanting to like question my head and my thoughts and my mind, you know?
Yeah.
I want that.
You can. Get new information.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly. And or they're just absolutely insane. You're like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. And you can tell them. But
it'll be entertaining for a couple of minutes.
That's it, right? Yeah. That's it, right?
It might not make the podcast, but it'll make one hell of a blooper reel.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, well, maybe I'll become TikTok famous. Nah, I'm just, I don't want to do that.
Man, if you're going to do that, I would suggest right outside the business building, the VLB.
Yeah.
Any day but Wednesdays. Well, Wednesdays.
Well, yeah, but what I need that. To well, how do you have to have like a permit for that kind of thing? Do you
I
know?
I have no clue.
Have you ever just popped out a guitar and started playing on UNT campus or nah?
Not on UNT campus, no. Okay. Oh, actually, no. When I first got there, because I was actually trying to write the songs for the album.
Yeah,
I had written a few of them. I wrote 1,200 songs, trying to write the best 12. I ended up picking 14. So that like my first semester.
1,200 songs. We're just gonna gloss over that.
Yeah.
That's a lot, dude.
It was a lot. It was a
I feel like at some
semester.
Yeah, wow. But like, I feel like at some point, are you being repetitive somehow?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's so hard, dude.
Yeah, so at the end, because I kind of procrastinated on it, at the end, I was writing 10 songs a day. And college student, you know, it was a little... I lived in the practice building. They would close down at night, but I would go up to the third floor, or I'd just like hide in the bathroom where they're kicking everybody out, and I'd just stay in there all night long writing songs, and then 8 a.m., all right, time for class. It was,
yeah.
But I would walk around Dang campus. You. If I would go to like to the dining hall or whatever, I'd always have my guitar with me, and I would just be like practicing scales or whatever while walking, because there's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
So might as well get better while I'm doing it.
Huh.
I even met some people like that.
Nice, dude.
Met some musicians like that.
Yeah, so, have you met anybody else that's doing the same thing? Like, genre-wise?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great musicians around here. Like,
yeah, of course.
I mean, like, Jenna Clark, you know, doing a lot of Americana, kind of soulful country stuff. And,
okay.
There's a lot of people like that. You know, Tanner Lane out in, I think, like, Lubbock. He's more of a countryside, but lots of great people I've played with. But my backing band, the other guys,
yeah.
Most of them are either UNT students, or when I met them, they were UNT students and have graduated. And, man, the music program is – I'm sorry, I keep backing away from the mic.
Dude, you're good.
I'm not used to just talking into a mic for –
Really?
Know,
this is it, man. We just chill.
Or talk. Into a studio mic, I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, I think these mics, like, this is the same type of mic you might use on stage. I just have it – the gain is up a lot.
Are these 48s?
No, they're not. So they're not SM48s or something.
Yeah.
They're not. They're the same thing, but they're Behringer. This one's Behringer anyway. I think that one might be just some Chinese brand. I don't know, dude. I bought it at Guitar Center.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be – it's just a regular dynamic mic. And the reason I do that is so that I can talk into it and also, like, I don't get all of the echo.
Yeah.
You know, because those are condensers over there. And
– Oh, I didn't even notice those.
Yeah. And those are nicer mics for sure. But they don't sound quite well. When there's not tons of sound deadening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you know. When you're in a recording studio, you know, how is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, you know, man, I really didn't have that much recording experience on this album. If you really look, you know, really look into me, you can find that I did have an album when I was about 16 years old. It was terrible. It was god-awful. I didn't know anything about music. It was just like me and a guitar. This album, I had to do a lot of research. I had meetings with all different recording studios, like all over the state, and then some.
Research for what?
Well, like, what do I need to have prepared before I go in there?
Oh, because you haven't. I see what you're saying. Okay, that makes sense.
Anything about instruments that I didn't understand a lot of? Like, I didn't know anything about horns. I didn't know much about the horn section.
Yeah.
About.
I was a trumpet player, so.
Yeah. There you go.
Heck yeah.
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, you know, even then, I don't even think I knew there's like, you know, horns have like a concert, you know.
Yeah, there's different styles.
Not the same actual note, you know.
Right.
So there's a lot I had to learn, and like even just technical stuff like that. I had to do a lot of research, and I locked myself away to do that research and make sure I knew exactly what I was doing.
Because you're paying for that time. So if go in there, it's like, and you don't have something, or you don't know something, or they throw something at you that you're not used to, like dealing with a condenser or something like that, and then you're like, oh, crap, I just paid for an hour, and I don't know what I'm doing.
This album was very expensive.
Really?
I won't say it on here.
No, you don't have to. Okay. You don't have to, not yet. You can show me later. But you're talking about like how many hours did you say you're in the studio for this album?
Oh, God, I don't even know. Because we like broke it up, you know, like we did the drums and then
Well, there's a lot of pieces too.
Yeah, there's violin, so many pieces, and there's a lot.
Just
of,
the violin is not gonna think of, but there's a lot.
Yeah,
I like that violin a lot, bro. Yeah.
Actually, you know, we had three violin players on this album: Eugene Kin, Phoenix Abbo, and Joseph Redding.
I don't know any. I know Joseph Redding. Does he have a brother?
I don't know. Maybe.
Huh. Okay. I know a Riley Redding. That's why I asked. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow. I don't know who those people are. So.
yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, they're all killer. And even Joseph has a couple shows with me lined up. We're doing some two-man shows.
Oh, okay.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
And he played on most of the songs with violin. I think he played on 6 songs. And, they all killed it. They all killed it. Do you have a favorite?
Of your songs? Mm-hmm. I mean, You Somebody was probably, like I said, You Somebody's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to it enough. Like honestly, I listened to it all the way through, mm-hmm. and then I listened to Way It Used to Be, just because I needed to know. I was like, okay, let's see what this song's all about. You know. Besides that, I haven't really listened again. And you know, Drake's new album dropped, and Kanye's new album dropped. So I've been listening to a lot of music. I don't know. I'm into music, so like I always try to stay on top of that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah, do you listen to anything else besides your like? You listen to? Let me rephrase.
You were about to ask if I listen to anything other than my album?
I was about to, no. I was about to actually ask if you listen to any other types of genres besides country. But I will say before that, have you actually listened to your own music or do you try not to?
Oh, well, I've listened to it so much more than I wish I...
Because you're playing it. I get that. But yeah. I mean like...
Well, you know, like in the mixing and the mastering, you know, we spent months just mixing and mastering.
Yeah. It so you're constantly insane. Listening to it.
I was always listening to it, and I
at some point, at some point, you get annoyed with it. I get it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I do not like listening to my own music. The one song I can actually listen to on this album, and I have no problems with, is Putting Myself Through. Because all these albums, all these songs, you know, they come from a one long story, and the songs are like a really deep, you know, personal, emotional place. So it's like, you know, the worst, you know, memory album ever for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, and, you know, that's why I made it, you know, to tell this story and all that. But Putting Myself Through is the only one on here that isn't, like, super, you know, depressing.
Depressing. I was going to say, yeah. So how do you, when you're getting to a state like that to write a song, like, what is that like for you? Because I know I feel like every creative person has, like, a... you know, some kind of thing they're doing where they're like, this is where I find myself, honestly, most depressed. And that puts me in a state to be extremely creative. And I don't know why that is, but I feel like that's like a lot of creatives are like that.
Well,
when you're down the most, you're like, let's write a song.
Yeah.
You know,
I have found personally, and I've written, you know, like I said, I did 1200. I did some before that, and I've done some since then. Of course, it's been like 2 years. So I've written somewhere probably just under 2000 songs now. And so I've done it every which way but loose, you know, try to find which way works best.
Right.
And, of course, you have to give it a shot. You can't just do it one way, like once. You got to do it a bunch of times. And I find I do best when I'm looking back. So trying to remember to get closer.
And that, oh, you're good?
Yeah. I'm forgetting they're there. But I try to look back because when I'm like, well, I'm in it.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's overwhelming to write about, I guess. Like, I want to write about this. I want to write about this. I want to write about that.
No, there's a lot going on, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also kind of hard to write, you know, like, the end of, you know, I wouldn't say the story, like, the chapter, you know, for the album, each song being like a chapter. It's hard to write about the end of the chapter if you haven't necessarily seen the end of the chapter. Or you haven't seen the next chapter, so you know, okay, that one ended. It's so much easier to look back, and once you start writing, then get back into that mindset for me. And that way also, like... you can hear as the album progresses, there's so many different layers in this album. It's, I mean, it was 7 years in the making. You can hear that they start to get more mature sounding, like the outlook, especially in like the last song, which is very on purpose, best stick I ever made, was, you know, yeah, we had hard times. Yeah, we fought. We broke up a lot. We got back together. We had all this. You know, we hid from people in our town. We did, you know, it was hell, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, you said I was the biggest mistake you ever made. Well, I'm saying it was the best mistake that I ever made, you know. So I think looking back was definitely, and actually right after like this story ended, or this, you know, this album would end, was when I started writing that 1200 songs, which was pretty soon after that. So it was kind of perfect. And the, you know, more stuff has happened since then, of course. It's been like 2 years since I, you know, wrote that stuff down, but I guess the story continues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yes, but now you gotta, like, are you gonna have any hard stuff to talk about, you know?
Oh, it's all hard to talk about, man.
No, I know. Like, yeah, after that 7 year period, now we gotta come up with some new stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Really, so all of my, I've written so many different songs. I've written songs about all kinds of different things, and the best songs are always the true stories. And that's why people, you know, I've heard reporters call me like the next Bob Dylan, next Jason Isbell, and stuff like that. And like, I really don't see myself
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that one, that was a big one.
That's big, dude. I'm like,
yeah, that was a big one.
You know, like, I just met you and you're cool, man. But
I don't think that. I'm just some 20-year-old kid from Brookshire, Texas.
That doesn't matter. Anyone could be anything, you know, but I just, that's crazy. Bob Dylan, dang. That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy.
It's very crazy.
And it is interesting types of music. Like, it's not like just the normal country. It's not just the normal freaking whatever you hear, you know?
I still just can't see it, though. Like, I'm...
There's also a lot of intricacies to your music, you know? I don't know.
Thank you. But also, he's still out. He just released some music. Yeah. How can there be a next one already?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because maybe he's not in his prime anymore.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I wouldn't tell him that. He might get a little, yeah.
Well, he's still rocking away, apparently, so whatever.
But, I mean, I've been called all sorts of things like that, and but I just don't see myself as, like, a huge songwriter, because I don't feel like I wrote these songs. I just wrote them down.
I get what you're saying, yeah, but I think that's the point, though, you know? I think that's what we do.
Yeah,
like a lot of, you know, you hear, you say that because like probably a lot of artists don't use their own stories, right? Like, yeah, that's also something you can think about. You don't have to use your own story. If you run out of stories, what happens, you know?
I haven't been there yet.
I know. But like then you start thinking like, what do I do now? Oh, I still want to write music, something like that. And then you're thinking of other people's stories, you know?
Yeah.
And you write that in a song or whatever, or someone writes songs for you and that's how that goes, you know? So I don't know. It could be a little bit different, but...
Yeah. I have tried that, writing songs about, you know, other people's stories.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, like, even just, you know, whatever.
You went to Walmart one day. Someone wanted to know Parker McCullough. Like, that whole scenario, that's a song, bro. That's a song, dude.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. It'd be funny. It'd be good. That's one of these... That's a more poppy song, probably, but you know, yeah. I can already... You know, I can hear this crap, you know? Mm-hmm. That's good. I can't hear it with all your instruments, but...
We can make it. I actually, at my shows, you'd probably like it. A lot of times, like towards the end, usually I'll have the crowd just give me any word, any random word, anything that's not food. I can't sing about food anymore. And we'll just come up with songs on the spot. Sometimes it works really well, sometimes it doesn't so much, but...
Yeah.
It's always a hell of a fun time.
Heck yeah,
a lot
dude.
Of improv.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of my musicians are... You know, mainly jazz musicians by trade, so they have no problem improvising.
That makes a lot of sense, now that you say that. Wow. Because, like, Americana, like, it's kind of I don't know, maybe not a jazzy feel, but it's, like I said, it's intricate, so it makes sense that the jazz players would be the one doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I was listening to the drummer on your album specifically, and I was, like, interested, because he, like, sometimes you'd throw in triplets where I didn't expect him to, and I'm like, well, what the heck is he doing, dude? This is crazy, you know? Yeah. So, that's cool.
Yeah, Riley Wine on the drums, he's been with me longer than anyone else and the other guys, and he's killing it. Those, like, the triplets, like, on the Let Me Go Easy towards the end, that was cool.
It's interesting.
When you think, like, it sounds almost like it messes up. And
it's
like,
not, yeah.
It's not.
No,
it's
I know.
Like it, it's like,
and I heard it, and I was like, that's cool that he did that, you know. And that, anyway, that's awesome, man. That would be, like, that jazz vibe. So that's what I'm talking about.
And in Waller County, there's a part where it goes, like, bum, bum, ba-da-da, bum, like, right before the choruses.
Yeah.
That was I actually didn't come up with that idea. I had something similar, but it was much, much less interesting. My bass player, Nick Woodhouse, came up with that.
Yeah.
It was a really cool idea. We were just, you know, in rehearsal one day, and I was like, oh, play that line again.
Yeah.
And so then, like, just about everybody did it, you know, like, with him, and we, you know, rearranged the guitar and the violin and everything.
Nice, dude. It's pretty cool. That's always what it is, man. It's the one little thing. You're like, whoa, that sounded good. Let's do it, you know? Yeah. Oh, man, creation, dude. It's awesome. It really is. Yeah. Well, you brought your guitar, dude, so you're going to slam out a beat or what?
Sure.
You're good, dude. While he's doing that, guys, I want to tell you guys about Blueberry. Blueberry is who we use to host our podcast, and they are the very best. They are actually free for 1 month if you use our code STAY-TOASTY whenever you go to their website. Like I said, that's STAY-TOASTY. And you get 1 month free, and after that, of course, it costs money. But you can cancel any time, so there's not a contract to it. So what are you waiting for? If you want to start a podcast, use Blueberry. I just had a coworker ask. Whoa, what the heck? I just had a coworker ask me if they could take my shift. So on the weekends, right? Like, you know, I'm a poor old me. You know, I'm waiting tables at BJ's in Alliance. Okay. Have you ever been to BJ's?
Not any of them around here, but like back in Houston, yeah.
Yeah, back in Houston. How long were you in Houston?
I moved there. I moved there from Hong Kong when I was about like 13.
We're gonna talk more about that, dude.
All right.
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm telling you, a lot of people have told me they want to make, like, movies about my life. I'm like, for one, I'm only 20, so I don't know about that. But also, there's, like, too much crap in there. I feel like it would suck, because you'd be missing over so much. Like, I lived in Hong Kong, I lived in Europe.
You wouldn't be able to film there, is that what you're saying?
No, I just feel like there'd be too much to fit in, like, a two-hour movie. If you're going to do it.
It'd be a documentary, dude. It'd be a documentary. I would do a limited series documentary on you. So it'd be like an hour 14 each episode. And let's say it's 5 episodes long.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's the new thing. So I'm into mini docs, dude. I would totally do that. I'm trying to build up this media company to do stuff like that, but I don't know. We'll see.
That sounds pretty cool. If you do come out with that, let me know.
Well, I'll freaking hit you up. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll watch. Don't worry, man.
Oh, man. That's funny, dude.
What do you want to hear? You want to hear a cover, an original?
This is you, dude. I don't know. I don't care about covers because you have your own music. Yes, like I think you're in the place now where you don't have to do covers all the time now, dude.
I do not.
You know, you can play Way It Used to Be if you want to. We just talked about it.
Yeah, sure.
Or if you don't really like that song, I don't know.
It might get a little loud when I hit the high notes.
You're good.
I don't know if you want to move it closer or back or whatever.
What do you mean, the mic?
The mic, yeah.
Oh, dude, put it wherever you think is best. It should be fine. Whatever happens, like, I'll should be able to post, fix it in post, you know?
My voice isn't warmed up. But,
you can warm up if you want to, man. There is no, look, there
it's
is
a
no,
challenge.
There is no pressure here, dude. We're just chilling, bro. We're just chilling.
Watching the sunrise through my cracked windshield, two windows down, photo 80AC. By the time that we roll into the little town, you'll still be right here with me, all the way it's supposed to be. Say, I know you are just itching to break out your guitar and play me something new. This is my favorite part. I pull out my hat and cross my heart and say that this song goes out to you. Watching the sunrise through my cracked windshield, two windows down, 4 to 80. By the time that we roll into a little town, you'll still be right here with me. You're the way it's supposed to be.
Hell yeah, dude. That was sick. Going? That was sick, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, what are you talking about? Your voice is, like, not natural. Maybe not in the album.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, no, that was a completely artificial. I don't even know what my real voice sounds like anymore. I guess
no, you're... Yeah, I know, but when you're talking about, like... Okay, so when you're talking about artificial, you're just saying that you're making the voice with your... You're still making it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to get confused. They're going to think that you mean like, oh, I'm using auto-tune all the time and electronics.
No.
You know, because when you said that, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait, you mean like you're making the voice? Because there's no way.
Oh, yeah.
You just mean, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it now.
It's almost like an impersonation.
Yeah,
it's,
no,
it's
right.
An impersonation
correct.
Of someone that does not exist.
But isn't that like most country artists?
Probably.
Dude, I know for a fact Chris Colston, whenever I was working with him, did not have the voice he has at all on, like, music, right?
Well, I mean, most country artists, like country music, country artists now, they all got that same, you know.
They have the twang and everything. I get it, but they're doing it.
Red dirt.
Yeah.
Coors beer. Pickup trucks on a Saturday night. You know, that sort of thing.
There we go. That's a bop. I'm just kidding.
That's a bop, yeah.
Nice, dude. That's cool, man. It really is.
Appreciate it.
So back to this Hong Kong thing, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested, man.
Yeah, so...
you lived in Hong Kong.
Yes, well, I lived in China first, and I lived in... Because I... Well, a lot of people in America would think it's two different places. They're two same places. They're two different places. Hong Kong is like a bunch of islands.
Mm-hmm.
And people in Hong Kong would consider itself its own country.
Yeah, they're independent-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It depends on where in the world
China?
You are.
Yeah.
I lived in China first. I lived with my dad. He builds golf courses internationally.
What?
He's like in construction for the golf course. Like he works on the dozer. And so.
What the heck, dude? That's such a niche.
Yeah.
That's
actually
weird.
A family job, if you can believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It dies with that generation, though. There's not that many golf courses being left.
Yeah. That sucks, man.
It's cool.
But golf is just now becoming cool for, like, young people.
Is it?
I mean, like, it's gaining. You don't think so? You don't think it's gaining traction?
I pretty much spend 100% of my time in music stuff.
You don't play golf?
No.
I'm not really saying I expected you to. I'm just saying, like, okay, I don't play golf that often, but I have my buddy, the one that actually, like, owns this house, he plays golf all the time. He loves it.
Yeah.
But he's been telling me, younger people are like getting into it finally because it's like cheaper than they thought.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. You can find clubs for – my clubs were like $20. And then you go and you play nine holes, it's like $20. So it's not that much money to do this stuff.
They're actually making like a golf course thing on campus at UND.
Really?
I don't really know what it is. I haven't been over there like by the stadium. Hmm. I haven't seen it. Forever, but like under construction. I don't know if it's done or not. I don't know what it is. I figure maybe it's like a driving range. I don't know. I know a lot of young people like Top Golf.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we of course we do, right?
I've never actually
say
met.
We. Of course, y'all, us, y'all. I don't know.
Ah, you're young.
I'm still young. I'm still.
You're
good.
Young. You're with us.
No,
worry,
I know. I'm still a millennial. We're good. The end of it, though. The end of it.
You're good.
Yeah.
I've never been to Topgolf.
Really?
Yeah, but that, they have the indoor skydiving, right?
Topgolf? I don't think so. No. It's like iDive or something like that.
I think there's an indoor
There is an indoor skydiving place, but I don't think it's called like Topgolf.
Next to a Topgolf.
In Carrollton, probably. Maybe that's where that's at. Dude, there's a place on 35 now called Big Shots. We go there all the time, dude.
Never heard of it.
Well, that's fine, but anytime you actually want to go and have a good time, you can come. That's all I'm saying.
I got my good time making machine right here.
No, I know. I know you have music, too. I'm just saying, yeah. Anytime you like have a break, want a break or whatever, you know what I mean?
I'll let you know when I find one of those.
I know it doesn't exist, dude. Yeah. Whatever, man. Anyway, back to Hong Kong. So you're living there because your dad is making golf courses?
Yeah, well, he was in China, and then I went to Hong Kong for better schooling. So I was doing international internet school. Why can't I talk? What's it called? Private school. Yeah, so it was basically just like my dad was supposed to be teaching me, but he didn't know what it was, so I was basically just doing it myself. And when you give a 10-year-old the entire school system...
Oh my gosh, dude.
I'd sleep till noon and play with my toys the rest of the day and get myself an A.
Yeah.
Because what else, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's crazy, dude.
Because of course, you know... I don't know why anybody thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
From that point on, I've had a hard time in school. After that. Before that, I actually got pretty decent grades. After that, terrible times in school.
Yeah.
But
imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I moved to Hong Kong for better schooling, which was good. I would not have gotten through high school at all if I did the, you know, yeah. So I moved to Hong Kong for some better schooling, and I stayed there. I lived with my dad's girlfriend for a little while and her family, and then eventually they moved out, and it was just me. It was interesting. It was pretty cool.
It was just you?
Yeah, I was 11, 12. I moved back to Texas like a few days before my 13th birthday. It was the Super Bowl. It was the night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like, that's so weird, man. They moved out before you?
Yeah.
And you were just chilling?
Just chilling.
At 11 years old?
For like a year.
By yourself?
I don't know. Maybe not a year. Maybe longer. It's hard to tell now, you know. When you're a kid, time's weird.
Is any of this crap in this new album?
No.
You don't talk about any of this?
No.
That's so interesting, dude.
It's definitely important because, you know, living by yourself at such a young age and traveling the world and stuff, you have to have a certain maturity.
Obviously grows you up faster than... It's just like when parents are gone or they die or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes sense. It grows you up, dude. It makes you more mature.
Yeah. And I think because I got so mature so quickly, I was also able to kind of, I don't know how you say it, like regress, like dad jokes. Because today I've been kind of serious for some reason. And usually I'm pretty kind of goofy. If you come out to my shows, there's tons of jokes, lots of dad jokes.
Dude, you can make, yeah, I get you. I understand.
Yeah.
That's so cool though. That's good. You need to have humor, bro.
Yeah,
comedy. So you know,
I got mature, and then I got like past that. You know, to the dad jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Speaking of that, though, whenever you're talking about comedy, it's interesting because people might say that, you know, because you're goofy, you're immature, or because you do comedy, you might be immature or something. Because a lot of the jokes might be just crazy immature or whatever. But I think the opposite.
You want to make someone's day a little bit better. What's so bad about that?
Right. But I also think that you're getting so far into maturity that you're just like, none of this crap matters anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's make jokes about it. Yeah. And that's how I see it. I'm like, dude, and it's funny, and I love it, dude. Even if it doesn't make anyone else laugh, psh, I don't care. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Hey, you know? We'll never get out of this world alive anyway.
Yeah, right?
Laugh while we're here.
Yeah, 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 dude, for sure. That's good, man. Yeah, now I guess I gotta come to one of the shows, man, see that crap. Mm-hmm. Might check you out 24th, see what's going on.
It's an event, and every single show is very different.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
So we do different show, different songs each one, and different musicians come out and different like instruments in the show.
Well, cool, man. How are the listeners going to find you? Website? Instagram?
Yeah, my website. If you Google my name, Charlie Cope, Copes and How Do You Cope With This Terrific Music, you can find me anywhere, all my social medias,
yeah?
The Charlie Cope on Twitter, The Real Charlie Cope on Instagram.
Do you which social media platform do you use the most? Instagram. This is for me, actually. Okay, Instagram. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Cool.
But I'm trying to get better at Facebook. It's just so hard doing all
well,
of them.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. With your demographic that you're trying to shoot for, Facebook is the way.
I know, but I hate Facebook.
No, Facebook sucks. I hate it too. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, dude. Like, I have a Facebook question every week for my podcast, and that's the demographic, right? Because almost
don't use it very often.
Almost my age and younger don't really care about politics, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's just like they're unhinged, and it's like, oh my gosh. So I'm looking for 30 plus, you know, and that's Facebook, dude. And I get tons of traction on Facebook all the time for that crap.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been posting more on Facebook since the album, you know, and of course my team helps. And just like the first time I did it in forever, someone messaged me. They were a manager from a venue up in Oklahoma, and they booked me for, I think, like April or something.
Just like that, right?
Just like that.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. Was it a video or audio that you posted or something?
It was a flyer.
A flyer? Oh, interesting. Dude, Facebook loves videos. I'll tell you that right now. Mm. So if you have little snippets or whatever, do it.
Can I have some snippets of this?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Yes, dude. Whenever I get this thing all ready to go, I'm going to send it to you. Mm-hmm. I'll probably – well, either – okay, I can't send you the whole thing because it'll probably be too big. So what I'll do is I'll either post it on YouTube and send you that link, or I'll just post – give you snippets. It's whatever you want, dude, honestly. Cool. If you want the original, you can have it. I don't care. I don't really worry about all that. So it'll
I'm
be –
happy in a way.
Heck yeah, man. Anyway, I'm going to promote it the same I always do, and it'll be on Spotify, iTunes, you know, everywhere. Everywhere podcasters are listening, you know what I mean?
Sounds good.
You guys can find him on his website, or just search Google Charlie Cope, and you will find him from there. Otherwise, guys, find me, The Real Sky Day, on Twitter and everywhere else, of course, and our website is toastycreations.com. You can buy merch if you want. That'd be dope. Also, like, share, and subscribe. That's it, guys. Stay toasty. Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. TheRealSkyDay.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.